Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Praise the Lord and God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with your hostess here on Bride's Bubbly and Brunch, wishing all fathers a happy Father's Day 2022. And I'm elated and excited to be here with you on this beautiful, gorgeous Sunday morning to share more with you from June's offering, celebrating Abba, Father, in celebration of fathers, in honor and celebration of the Knights of Christ, Men's Ministries, Paternal Orders. And I tell you, I am elated and honored to prepare to minister and proclaim this beautiful declaration, exhortation, and celebration of the bride. And I tell you, I've been so excited, anxious to come to you from Bride's Bubbly and Brunch and celebrate it in celebration of June's bride. And I'm wishing all brides and grooms a happy union, a happy sacrament of marriage. If you've wed in the month of June or preparing to be wed. And I tell you, this message is a proclamation that I'm proclaiming to all those who are believing and is an expectation of you coming together with your one true love. And I tell you, this message is so fulfilling, and it's really been a joy preparing it and letting the Holy Spirit minister to me so that I can release it to you. And I tell you, being the first partaker of it, I've been blessed, and I received what I was supposed to receive from it. So I hope you will as well. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, again, this is to encourage those who are believing And again, in expectation of your prayers, your passion pleas of what you're believing God for. And I entitled this exhortation, Fulfill Ye My Joy. Command the work of my hand. And I tell you, when I was reading the scripture yesterday from the alignment, and I read Fulfill Ye My Joy, I was really chuckled in my spirit because I knew that this would be the message for today. And Paul declared it yesterday, Fulfill Ye My Joy. So this was that was just confirmation of what this message is going to be, which I knew it was, but I'm excited of what the Lord is saying, and I'm really excited to get right into it, to declare to you so you can be blessed by it. Hallelujah. And I tell you, this really was actually something that I needed because that's exactly what I've been doing, being a lady in waiting for what the Lord has promised, what I'm believing God for. And this exclamation, Fulfill Ye My Joy, was something Jesus exclaimed to the Father when he, after he completed the work. And that is the same thing Holy Spirit, Father God, is saying now, that I want your joy to be full. He said, ask that your joy may be full. And I tell you, it's no better time than for it to happen now, right now. The Word of God says, the Word of God declares that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And I know some things come together in the fullness of time and in God's timing, but all we have is now, right now. And so I've been really put into command and demand on God and the work of his hands, and that's exactly what he told us to do. And I have no problem commanding God and demanding God when it's something I want and something I'm seeking justice for. I want it now, God, not tomorrow, not next week, now. And if it's his will, according to his will, he will do it. So, again, anything that we ask God for, anything we believe in God for, not only do we need to believe and stand in faith for it, we also have to take action and receive the instruction that he gives us so it can come into manifestation, come into fruition. Now, the scripture that I wanted to read to you that declares to command me the work of my hands comes from Isaiah, the 45th chapter and the 11th verse. And again, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And this is what Isaiah says. He says, for the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and its maker says this, ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, hallelujah, concerning my sons, and give me orders according to the work of my hands. And this whole offering has been about the paternal orders of God. And now more than ever can we command God to show the works of his hands, especially in this season, because this season declares his right hand, his holy arm. So again, this is a great time of favor. And I told you that in coming into this month and declaring June's offering that it will be a great time of favor and great doors. So this is a great time to command the work of his hands. And again, what does he say? Ask me. Don't try to backdoor somebody. Don't try to voodoo, sorcerize, and all this stuff to find out what God is saying. He simply asks. Simply ask. And again, you can't ask God for anything if you don't have a pure heart. And if you ask, if you're asking amiss, so you can consume it upon your own flesh. And that is not good. Not good. He said, ask about the things to come. And that's the purpose of Holy Spirit. He wants to know what's to come. He wants to know, wants us to know what he's saying. In fact, and in truth, the Word of God says, eyes have not seen, neither ears have heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But it's revealed by his Spirit. So the word, keyword is love him and prepare for those that love him. So it's a prepared blessing. And that's why I so love coming from the Brides of Christ, Brides Opening and Brunch, because it's all about preparation. Preparation of what? Heart. You have to prepare our hearts. Now, another inspiration for this message comes from, and was inspired by, the wedding at Cana. It was at the wedding of Cana. This demand was made when the wine ran out, so that the merry hearts of the guests in attendance to the wedding would remain joyous. And so for that, I have John, the second chapter, first through the 12th verse. And it reads, "And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine," meaning the guests, "the mother of Jesus said unto him that they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." And the thing that I was praising the Lord for and just thanking the Lord for and just ministering to him and reading this was that even though he was at a natural wedding, he was yet spiritual and mindful of what the time was to come. Again, Jesus was always confident. He was always conscious of what his destiny was. He knew he was going to go back to the Father. But because he was at a natural event, he performed the first miracle in demonstrating the power of God and turned the water into wine. And that's where we see what he told them to get water pots and fill them with water, and he turned the water into wine. And the guests drunk it, and they continued and was well drunk at the celebration. So that was the second example of the command and the demand for wine, which represents joy. And that's the thing that God was saying to me about this message, that now more than ever do we need the joy of the Lord so that we can not only have a merry heart and a beautiful spirit, keep our spirit pure before God, but it's our strength. The Word of God declares that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so the manifestation of wine in the New Testament represents the Holy Spirit. And so God wants our joy to be full. And so this miracle that was performed at Cana using wine, not just any wine, but good wine, good wine that was used to keep the celebrant excited and full of joy. And he even saved the best wine for last. And saving the best wine for last was for those who was able to endure the party. And so God is always saving the best for last, because that's his curtain call. Now, my joy is complete. It's full because I'm playing my role and my position according to Father God's holy orders and instructions. And that's important for you to remember and important for you to note that in order for you to have the joy of the Lord, you must be and abide in the place that he has placed you, he has put you. And again, the Word of God declares that he has put us in the body. He is placed within the body according to how it pleases him. So you will never have the true joy of the Lord if you're not in your right place in that position. If God has not put you, has not placed you, have not anointed you, have not elected you, have not chosen you, have not favored you, then whatever you're doing, if it's not by his grace, by his equipping, it's in vain. And that's why many people have strife and contention and bitterness, because they're doing things they were not called to do. They're not graced to do. Being tapped by someone, being taught and trained to do something does not mean you were meant to do it. God does not give us challenges. This is not a conquest. God's will is not a conquest. It's a certainty. It's a promise. It's a predestination. Now, for that, I'm going to read to you John, the third chapter, the 25th to the 30th verse. And this is where, again, we see the ceremony of marriage taking place. And it reads, and again, I'm reading from the Amplified, there was a controversy between John's disciple and a Jew in regards to purification, ceremonial washing. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan at the Jordan River crossing and to whom you have testified, look, he's baptizing too, and everyone is going to him." John replied in the 27th verse, he can claim nothing at all unless it has been granted to him from above. For there is no other source than the sovereign will of God. He says, "You also are my witnesses, as I stated." He said, "I am not the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, but I have only ahead of him as he has appointed forerunner and messenger to announce and proclaim his coming." And I'm going to stop there and expound on that. Because what he was saying to him, that I'm not the anointed one. I'm not Jesus. I'm the one that's the stand-in that comes to prepare the way for him. And then not only does that say we're not Jesus, we're in his image and his likeness, but he's saying that those who we impart, those who we teach, those who we teach the word, they are supposed to do what they're trained to do, especially if it's by the will of God. Now he goes on to say, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom. He who has the bride is the bridegroom." So I am his anointed. I am the bride. Who he that has me is the bridegroom, because I belong to him. He recompensed me. He ransomed me. He shed his blood for me. Now he says, "But the friend of the bridegroom who stands by and listens to him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this pleasure and joy of mine is now what? Complete." He says he must increase in preeminence, but I must decrease. So that's saying that John's joy came by him playing his role, do what he was called to do. And he made it clear for anyone who was trying to say that he was trying to be Jesus, he said, "No, I'm just a stand-in. And I delight, I take pleasure, my joy is fulfilled and complete by being selected to be the stand-in, to be the friend of the bridegroom." And that's another thing, that if you're not grateful and accepting of what God has given you, your position, not only will you not be in the will of God, but it can be dangerous because it opens up for attacks. And he says he must increase, but I must what? Decrease. So they say it's all about Jesus, all about him. He's the star of the show. He's the bright morning star. He's the one who is going to present us before the Father. Now, I wanted to read that because that's important for you to know in understanding as we go from faith to glory to glory and expressing the image of the Lord. And even as we receive elevation and promotion of the Lord, make sure it's the Lord that is extending the invitation for you to come up hither and that you're growing in grace by the grace of God. And that he's the one giving you your seat. He's the one that's crowning you and equipping you. Hallelujah. Now, the completed work of God, of God's will, is fulfilled in every season and is now. Now glorified in Christ, and my joy is fulfilled in Christ. And this is the scripture where Jesus declared to the Father and commanded the Father to glorify him. And that's St. John, Apostle John, 1st through the 17th verse. And he's in these words, Jesus spake and lifted up his eyes, he spoke and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son also may be glorified in thee, as thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me, and this is life eternal, and that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So again, Jesus is just like John declared his position. Jesus is declaring to Father God everything he gave him. He said, Father, the hour is come. I know what I'm supposed to be receiving, what I'm supposed to be receiving. And if it's not happening and showing up, I want to know why. And God will tell me why, because he know I want to know. Okay. You said this, I've been expecting this, I've been praying for this. Okay, why is it not showing up? And you answer, always answer, and let me know why. And I accept that answer. And if it's something that's hindering, of course it's going to be removed, bound, rebuked, sent back. And again, he's saying, for what purpose? Eternal life. And he goes on to say in the fourth verse, I have glorified thee on earth. This is him commanding now, commanding God. He's telling God, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work. Lord, I completed what you told me to do today. I completed in this season. I did the offerings for the month. Okay, so where's the reward? When is it going to come? He said, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. I did it. I just say it. I did it. He did it. And now, not tomorrow, not next week, and now, O Father, glorify thy me with thy own self. Hallelujah. With thy own self. I don't want someone else to bless me. I want you to bless me, God. You. Come down. Tangible. Thy own self with thy glory. Yes, I want the blessing. I want the manifestation of the goods or the materialism, but I want the glory. I want to be glorified with his glory, his presence, his name. I want the spiritual blessings. I want the crowns in heaven. I want the glory. So when I walk out my door and go wherever I'm going, I can be beaming and shining. People see my light, see God's glory. I can banish the enemy with my powers. Glorify me with thy power. Well, you know, I said with thy glory, which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, my God, that is powerful. Which I had with thee before the world was, before he even came down to earth. So Jesus knew where he came from. He said, okay, glorify me the way I was. I want the same glory, not a different glory before I came into the world. I don't want the world to take anything from me. I don't want the God of this world, the dawn stars, children of disobedience, son of perdition, any of these ungodly, wicked, evil spirits to take away what I've come down here in the world to do. I want the same glory that I had before the world was. He said, I have manifested thy name unto men, mature, obedient, which thou gavest me out of the world. Out of the world. That means those that God gave Jesus, the 12 disciples and anyone else, they were not of the world. They were sanctified out of the world. He called them out from the world, out of darkness, into the marvelous light. Called them from their professions and made them fisher of men so they could do his will. He said, thou that gave me out of the world, thine they were. Thine they were. They were of God. They were of God because he created them. But now they're now belonging to Christ because he's now Christ is in God's stead. He's the one that's our high priest. He's our mediator. He's the one that's going to present us to God, Father God. All things have been given to Jesus now. And that's what he said. And thou gavest me them, and they have kept thy word. Hallelujah. The fathers, the sons, hallelujah. The elders have kept thy word. Now, not next week, they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me. Because everything you gave me, I gave to them. I told them the truth. I held nothing back. Thou hast given me are of thee. He goes on to say in verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee. Because he made sure he kept it about Father God. He told him everything God told him to say, everything he preached, everything he taught based on what he heard the Father saying. That's what Jesus always said. I only speak what my Father says. I only speak what I hear him say. He said, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Said they believed the message. Those that received Jesus, those he called, those who got it by faith, those who were grafted in, they believed his report. Now you see how detailed this is? Jesus is being real detailed. These are his petitions. These are his passion pleas. He's breaking it down, line by line, spelling it out for Father God so he can make sure he know. And they have believed that thou didst send me. He said again, he goes on to say, I pray for them. Jesus was serious. He was really serious. He was passionate. Oh, my God. He was passionate about getting his glory. And he should be. I am. You should be as well. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Because, again, the world's a mess. The world is a mess. I pray not for the world because the world is now governed by fallen angels. And we are now sanctified and being kept by that word, his word. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all of mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Hallelujah. He surely is. He's glorified in me. He's glorified in my praise. He's glorified in every area of my life. He's glorified in my loins, in my heart, in my soul.
Now he goes on to say, and now, not next week, not next Sunday, and now I am no more in the world. About to give up the ghost. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12, he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept and lost none. And I can tell you, because I'm still here. Hallelujah. I'm still here. Everything the devil tried to do, I'm still here. Why? Because I'm in his hands. I'm in his hands. I'm his favorite. I'm favored, highly favored. I'm predestined. I have eternal life. He said, but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world. He declared it to the world, so the world would know, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Hallelujah. That's what I've been waiting to get to. That they may have my joy fulfilled in them. And that's the thing that's going to keep a true believer, is the joy of the Lord that's fulfilled in them. Not the joy of the world, not joy based on once you accomplish one feat, you look for the next feat to keep the joy going. No. And the minute something happens, you lose or you fail or you stumble, you lose heart. You don't have joy anymore. So my joy, the saints' joy is based on the fulfillment of Christ that's in us. Hallelujah, because I'm not of this world. My joy is not based on the world. It's based on and fulfilled in Christ Jesus, who lives in me, who reigns in me, who's alive in me. Now in verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So I must understand that the world hates anything that's of God, called of God, hates Jesus, who died for our sins, who shed his blood for us, took our place. And that's why it's important for you to be sanctified. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to go quickly to, I don't have that much to go with them. So I'm going to break this all the way down. I don't want to miss anything because it's so good. Psalm 16 and 11. It's another scripture that I wanted to give you, because in Psalm 16, it says, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And when he gave me this scripture, I just started receiving an understanding on a lot of times when we are on our path, oftentimes a simple twist of faith will fulfill our joy. And what I mean by that is that, the path that God put us on, it has twists and turns. You never know which way he's going to lead us, because, again, it's about fulfillment. It's about always getting to the now rather than the later. And sometimes we have to be open to God's unorthodox ways. His unorthodox ways in getting us to where we need to be, or fulfillment. And for that, you have to be open. You have to really have a greater understanding of God than what's being taught you. That's why I often speak of relationship with God, personal relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit. as we walk by faith according to how the Spirit is leading us. Oftentimes, our joy needs to be restored in order for the promise of God and his will to come to pass in our lives. I just wanted to share those two tidbits with you. Be open to how God wants to bless you. Again, Jesus healed the man by spitting in his eye. I have a very vast view of God, so I'm not bound by things and people. I'm really open to how God can bless me, and as long as it's him, I'm good. Even if it's not him, if I can turn it and rework it, it's all good. Break it and bless it, and he anoint it, wonderful. Now, again, oftentimes our joy needs to be restored in order for us to see the promise of God because of a broken heart, because of a breach in our fellowship with God, which comes by sin. And David, King David, did that so well. And I gave you Psalms 51, the first through the 13th verse, because in David's psalm, he was declaring that very thing when he declared and asked God in his plea to have mercy upon him. According to his loving kindness, according to the multitude of his tender mercies, he asked God to blot out his transgressions, to wash him thoroughly from his iniquity and cleanse him from his sins. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins ever before thee. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He says, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He goes on to say in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hallelujah. So he was saying, make me to hear, because I can't hear it. Because my bones is broken, my heart is broken, my fellowship is broken. That I may what? Rejoice. Now, scripture I wanted to give you was Psalms 126, 4 through the 6th verse, where he says, restore our captivity, O Lord, as the stream beds in the south of Negvi are restored by the torrent rains, the torrent of rain. They who sow in tears shall reap with joyful singing. He who goes back and forth weeping, carrying his bag of seed for planting, will indeed come again with a shout and bring his sheaves with him. And I love that. And I had to include that because he said, you shall sow in tears, but you shall reap in joy. So keep your bag. Keep your bag of seed. Hold fast what you have attained. Your tears is preparing your harvest. Your tears is the water that's sowing the blessing. And he will lead us and plant us by a stream of living waters. Now, in closing, I want to include this. My joy is a stream that flows. Oh, no, he goes on to say, okay, my joy is a stream that flows from seeing the salvation of the Lord. That's how my joy and a believer's joy is received, seeing the salvation of the Lord. And for that, I gave you Isaiah 12 chapter, the second through first verse, where he says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. Therefore, my joy shall draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted. And I'm just excited that he's anointed me with the oil of gladness and that his favor is extended to me according to Hebrews, the first chapter, 8 through 10 verse. And know that he's extended his scepter to you. He's extending himself to you. He's saying, come up hither. He's sending the invitation for you to come up hither. And I hope that you will accept that invitation, that your joy may be full. And I pray that anything that's causing your heart to be heavy, that you give it to the Lord. Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me and learn of me, for I make it lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And I leave you with that invitation to give it all to Jesus. Lay it at his feet. He knows. And he's there to help you. So with that, I bid you peace, blessing, and much love. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Father's Day. To all fathers, I love you. I will speak with you soon, later in the week. Take care. Stay blessed. And love always.